Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
This night and everything we do here is all about Jesus. And so each of those nights throughout the summer, Wednesday nights, we call them Camp Resonance here or Resonance here at Refuge. We want to make it all about Jesus. And so we want to worship and praise him. But we also have been doing this thing called one-on-one with Jesus. And so I think my slides will pop up here in a second. And we've been talking about what one-on-one encounters with Jesus. Now, could you imagine meeting Jesus? Think about that for a second. The creator of the universe, and yet humble to the point of coming and submitting himself to the Father and saying, I will walk the face of the earth. Can you imagine meeting Jesus? Well, we have all these encounters in Scripture where someone met Jesus. And so we looked over the entire summer, we saw all these moments where Jesus interacted with people. And here's what I would say, the common denominator in all that. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. If you think it's something different, you could just yell it out. No, you can't. Here's the thing. He loved people. And he loved all sorts of people. And I would just tell you this tonight. I'll just tell you this. And maybe this is something maybe you've questioned in your mind. Can I just tell you this? Jesus loves you. Jesus absolutely, with all his heart, loves you. And I want to look at a text tonight that I think proves it. I want to look at an encounter that Jesus had with this man by the name of Nicodemus that I think proves Jesus' love for you. Here's what he's saying at nighttime. First let me ask you this. Anybody have a birthday? Does anybody have a birthday? Anybody have a birthday? I mean, not tonight, but like, do you have a birthday? Does anybody have a birthday tonight? Does anybody have a birthday within the last, like, 2 days, on either 2 days before or 2 days after, around this time? Anybody have a birthday at all? Nobody has a birthday within the last, what? You really do? Jack, come here for a second. Hand this and submit to your leaders all the time. Anybody else have In-N-Out? I got an In-N-Out gift card birthday for you. You can go home, get yourself a shake on the way home. Oh, I see another hand. Oh, when we hear In-N-Out, all of a sudden we start having birthdays. But I think, who is it right here? Jack, come grab this. We'll hook Riley up. Riley, it's your birthday coming up? Friday. Okay, see me after. There it is. You already got it. What? No. Okay. Listen, we all have birthdays. Raise your hand if you have a birthday. Yes. All right. Now listen, you have been birthed. But in Christian world, there's another birth that we talk about. Does anybody name what that is called? Born again. And it's this word that sometimes, I will just tell you, over the years has gotten a negative connotation. You know how people will sometimes say this? They'll say it like this. Oh, you're one of those born again Christians, right? To which all Christians, let me just tell you, all Christians are born again Christians, all of them. And you might want to push back against that, but I want to show you in our text tonight that Jesus is actually, in his love, calling all people to be born again Christians. And here's where the encounter takes place in this one-on-one with Jesus. There's a guy, his name is Nicodemus, and he comes to Jesus by night. And he's a religious leader. He's part of the anti-Jesus fan club. There's these Pharisees who do not like Jesus, and Nicodemus is one of those. But something must have been happening in Nicodemus' life that led him to this point of dissatisfaction. There must have been something in this religious man's life, whether it was he was focused on religion over relationship, there was something that Nicodemus was struggling with, so much so that he took a chance to come and see Jesus of all people. Even though he's so anti-Jesus, he comes to see Jesus. I believe Jesus was expecting Nicodemus that night. In fact, I want you to hear what Nicodemus says to Jesus. Here's what he says. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from where? Somebody help me. Come from God. Here's a man of God, a religious man, saying, we identify that you are a man come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus comes curious, wondering, Jesus, we've heard, we all have heard what you have done. And the people keep talking about you. And let me just tell you secretly, I want to know what the secret is. I want to know who you truly are, Jesus. And I notice in this moment that Jesus doesn't chastise him or push him away and say, hey, you're part of the anti-Jesus fan club. Like, you need to get out of here. No, no, Jesus welcomes him in. He welcomes the conversations. In fact, what Jesus does is he begins to tell truth to him. Listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is, what's the word? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless, Nicodemus, you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot go into eternity with the Heavenly Father. You cannot have eternal life. You will not make it into heaven unless you are, he says, born again. So it's then Nicodemus says this, interesting. He says, how can a man be born again when he's old, right? How am I going to be born again? And then he has this kind of crazy idea. He says, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? To which Jesus is like, no, what are you talking about? That's gross, right? We can't do that. Not what Jesus says at all. In fact, Jesus knows that Nicodemus is going to meet him that night. Jesus loves Nicodemus, and so what he wants to do more than anything else is to tell Nicodemus what it means to be born again. And I believe the same thing would be someone tonight understanding for the first time. Yeah, I was born once, but I've never been born again. I've never been born a second time. Here's what Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot have eternal life. He cannot be part of the family of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. I would just say in a quick synopsis, washed by the word, washed by the blood of the Lamb. You must be washed clean. How does that happen? By the Spirit of God coming into you and dwelling with you. Well, how do I get that, Jesus? How do I become born again? I want to be that. I want eternity with him in heaven forever. How do I get that? Thankfully, Jesus moves on, and here's what he says to him. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Who is he talking about there? Who? Himself. He's talking about himself. I have been in heaven. I've ascended down, ascended to heaven, and I'm coming down from heaven to be with you, Nicodemus, to tell you that God loves you, that I love you. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever, what's the word? Believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Kingdom of God, eternal life forever with him. Now, what's he referencing to with this serpent idea? There's a moment in Israel in the Old Testament where the camp is overrun with snakes and they're biting people. It's poisonous snakes. And people are dying because they had turned their back on God. And God says, listen, if you, Moses, go and resurrect this bronze snake, and if people go and look at that snake, they will be saved. Now, Jesus, look, is referencing back to the Old Testament, and he's saying, this, like the Son of Man, must be raised up. And what is he talking about in that moment? Up on the cross. The Son of Man must be raised up on the cross. Now, who was saving the people in the Old Testament? Who was rescuing people in the Old Testament? Was it the people? No, who was it? It was God. God had set up a way for people to be saved. Now, did the people have to go look at the snake in order to be saved? Absolutely. In the same way, Jesus is saying, those must put their faith in me if they're going to have eternal life, if they're going to be saved. They must be born again. What's the commonality there? Belief. You must believe in me. You must put your faith in me. You must trust in me. That's the economy of salvation. It's belief in who Jesus is. Now, look what he says here on this last final text. Why would he do it? Why in the world would God send his son down for us? You know this text. What is it? John 3:16. Do you all want to say it with me? All right, let's read it together. It says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I know this may not be your view of God. Maybe this is not your view of, maybe it has not ever been your view of God, where there's this God who created all things and he loves me. He cares about me. I mean, I'll sing songs about it, but sometimes I miss this idea that God cares about me. He knows me. So much so that he paid a heavy, heavy price for me. This is, in fact, one of the falsities of what we see today in our culture. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. And I don't quite frankly know if I know him or love him or care about him. But can I just tell you tonight, I believe God's brought you into this place, either to remind you that God cares about you and loves you deeply, or maybe even for the first time to hear those words right from his words, from the text of Scripture. For God so loved the world, he so loved you that he sent his only Son. Now check out 17, and here's where we're going to close. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Wow, because it feels like I'm always being condemned, right? The church and the people, the religious people, they're always after me. But can I just tell you, that's not God's heart. God's heart is the same one that is the conversation he's having with Nicodemus tonight. He's saying, Nicodemus, I want you to know that God loves you. In fact, he sent his Son to die for you. I'm dying for you, Nicodemus, because I love you, not to condemn you. Look what it says. But that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him, what's the economy of salvation? Belief. He who believes in him is not condemned. But listen to this. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How important is the name of Jesus that we've been singing all night? Immensely important. In fact, eternity depends on it. But what you do with Jesus matters. And these, by the way, are the words of Jesus. They're right from God's mouth to our ears so that we would receive him and walk with him. And my encouragement to you tonight is this. If you've come to this place, and maybe you're someone who said, I used to go to church a long time ago. I used to walk with Jesus, but I haven't for a long time. Can I encourage you? Come back to him and walk with him again. Come back into fellowship and relationship with him again. And I can just tell you, his heart for you is love. His heart is to draw you back in and you experience the joy of walking with him again. Not a religion, but a relationship. And my other encouragement to you is, if you're someone tonight and you came because you got invited by a friend and it's a concert, so glad that you are here. Are we glad that they're here? Absolutely glad you're here. But let me encourage you with this. Don't leave this place without praying with someone, maybe with a badge. You see a badge walking around. We've got a prayer booth out here. And if it's something that you're saying, you feel like the Lord tonight is calling you to take that step of faith and put your faith in Jesus, then my encouragement is that don't leave tonight before you take seriously this call of John chapter 3, the meeting with Nicodemus. Make sure you pray with someone. And if you have more questions about who Jesus is, I'm around. We've got people with little lanyards and love to answer. The person you came with would love to answer those questions. But can I just pray for you tonight? Let's pray tonight, Lord. Lord, we come before you tonight. We just ask that you would continue, Lord, to be glorified in this place. But I can think of nothing more joy that you would have in your heart, Lord, if someone tonight said yes to you, said yes to following after Jesus, that heeded the words of Scripture that we just read, for God so loves the world that he sent his only Son. Lord, I pray tonight that someone would take that step closer to you, to walking with you, either for the first time or, Lord, that they'd get back and walk with you again. I believe your Spirit, Lord, is powerful, working amongst us, Lord, poured out upon us. So, Lord, we ask tonight that you do the work that, Lord, you've called us to walk with you in faith, and, Lord, you're the one that does soul work. So, Lord, would you do soul work in this place tonight? We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' powerful name. And, Lord, we're going to keep singing about that name now. Lord, continue just to bless this time of worship and our night tonight together. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-815-7000. 891-9495. Set free.